So as we welcome you here today, this being the first Sunday in the new year, January 4th, 2026, I want to start this year off with the second part of this lesson that we began last Sunday morning from John chapters 3, going up through chapter 4. It's entitled, The Challenge to Believe. The Challenge to Believe. Now, our theme verse for this lesson is found in John chapter 3, verse 36. And this is what the Bible said. He that believeth on the Son hath, present tense, now notice that, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. And again today, I want to ask you, what are you hungering for today? You know what, there are a lot of folks today that are hungering for all kinds of things in their lives and in their situations in this world. People are hungering after all kinds of things, wealth and fame and popularity and all kinds of stuff. I've got a little thing here I've got in my pocket. I keep my icebreakers in. And when I finish those out, I fill it up with Skittles, okay? And when I finish those up, I'll fill it up with some hot tamales and things like that. You know, just in case I need a little sugar lift or something, okay? Or my wife needs something. And I bumped into her out here in the hallway just a few minutes ago and about knocked her down. And didn't see her coming around the corner. She didn't see me. And almost got me a hug out of it. Amen. But you know what? What are you hungering for today? What are you hungering for? I want to hunger for living for the Lord Jesus Christ in this new year. I want to give Him my very best. Listen, none of us knows how many days we have on this earth. We do not know. Now, you can be young, or you can be old, you can be middle-aged, you can be gray-haired, no-haired, red hair, blue hair, whatever. I mean, you can have all kinds of things going on in your life today. But we don't know when our last day is going to be, and we're going to stand before God, and we're going to give account unto God for how we have lived for Him, how we have served Him, what we've done for Him since we have been saved. And I want to remind you of something here today. Listen, when we got saved, when God saved us, all of our past was covered by the blood. Amen? Aren't you thankful for that today? All the past is covered, and He gives us a brand new start. And even as He gives us this new year to start living for Him and serving Him and giving Him our best, listen, I want to encourage you today, remember, one of these days we're going to stand before Him and give account unto Him for what we've done for Him. The things of this old world are not going to last. I was looking at my car the other day, and I've got, with the trip and everything else, I've tripped 92,000 miles on that van now. Man, it's not that old. But we put a lot of miles on that thing. And I thought, man, what was, one time I got it and it only had 8 miles on it when I got it. We traded it and got it as a hybrid when the gas prices went up so bad. And we've had it. And I can travel a lot of miles with this van instead of the other one and get a lot of mileage out of it because it's a hybrid. But you know what? 92,000 miles. Man, it won't be long. That thing will have 100,000 miles on it probably before summertime. I'll have that done. But you know what? Things change. But Jesus never changes. Amen? And I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I want to hunger and thirst to live for Him and to give Him my very best, even when it seems like everything around me is going crazy. And that's what we want to look at with this lesson. Now, we looked at last week the challenge to believe. We looked at the testimony of John the Baptist. Remember? We looked at that last week. We saw the problem that was described there with the people and everything else. Then we saw John's pronouncement, okay, how that he must decrease and Christ must increase. We saw that pronouncement. And then we saw, we got into where we saw John's reflection, John the Apostle, reflecting on John the Baptist in verses 31 through 36 of chapter 3 here. And then we got into, we saw Jesus' time with the Samaritan woman. We started in John chapter number 4, and that's where we want to pick up today. I want to pick up with you here today on this, John chapter number 4. And here John describes the detail. He gives the detail, information that Jesus is the promised Messiah. He proclaimed this his very self. He proclaimed this fact himself to this Samaritan woman. And he's showing the disciples that doing the will of the Father is more important than trying to please others. Have you often run into a situation where you try to please so many people, you're not pleasing anybody? You just can't please everybody. So you know what? I don't try to please anybody but the Lord. And if I can please the Lord, then I'll be happy with that. And if I can do His will and do what He said do, that's what we need to do. So I want you to look at it with me today. In John chapter number 4, we're going to start here in verse number 1. We're going to go through verse number 4 here, and we see Jesus' departure from Judea. We looked at this last week, but I'm just going to cover it today to get into the lesson where we left off from last week. John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Jesus knew that he had an upcoming divine appointment with a woman that was rejected by men, not entirely, but I mean, she was rejected of people that had any scruples about them, okay? She was a lady that had situations in her life that were not pleasing unto God. It didn't even please herself. Always looking for something to satisfy and never finding it. And Jesus said, you know what? I've got to go through Samaria. There's somebody there searching. There's somebody there looking. There's somebody there longing for truth. There's somebody there hungering for righteousness, wanting to know that somebody cares for them. Man, I look back and I think about that same situation in my life. I was longing for somebody to care, somebody to love me, not to take advantage, but just to love me for who I was. And you know what? I found that in the Lord Jesus Christ. I found that great love in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible talks about it here in verses 5 through 26, where we see the dialogue between the Lord Jesus and this Samaritan woman. We see the conversation here in verses 5 through 18. And in verse number 7, Jesus asks this woman for some water. He comes to the well and he asks for some water. And in verse number 9, we see the woman responding with the question. She said, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." You see, they were enemies. They didn't like one another. And boy, is that not what you and I were like with God before we got saved? We were at enmity with God because we were lost. We were sinners. We had that old nature to do whatever we wanted to do. We thought would please our lives, please ourselves. And we were at enmity with God. But look at verse number 10, where we see Jesus reply. He said, "Honey, listen, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst ask of him, and he would have given thee living water." Man, can you imagine hearing words like that, standing at the well in the middle of the desert area? And listen, in verse number 11, we see this woman's curiosity. It's aroused by Jesus' response about this living water. She's got some curiosity. She's wanting to find out, living water? What are you talking about, living water? And in verse number 11, the Bible said, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hath thou this living water?" And look at verse 13 and 14. Jesus describes this living water. And man, he says this. He said, "A well of water springing up into everlasting life." That's what Jesus did for me when he saved me. I remember, and I've told you this before many times, but I remember longing for something to satisfy. I'd gotten into the Tar Heel UFO study group, you know? a guy gave me a Bible and told me that when you read in the Old Testament, it described the ancient aliens that came into this world and all this stuff. And the Bible described all that stuff. And man, I was searching for answers and looking for this and looking for that. And you know what? I wasn't finding anything that would help me. We'd go out at night and look for UFOs at night. And we'd see all kinds of stuff at night. And even had my picture in the newspaper for seeing something. And it was an unidentified object. I didn't know what it was. But you know what? Listen, I was hungering for something and didn't know what I was hungering for. I was looking for something to satisfy. You know, we can find something to satisfy. Before I was saved, I could find something that would satisfy for a little while, and it just like it would just drain right out of my heart's cup. It was just like I had a hole up underneath the cup of my heart. And you fill it up for a little while, and it just drained right back out. And I was longing for something else again. But when I met Jesus, amen, when I got saved, He put me underneath that fountain that never runs dry, amen? And it just fills the cup, and it just overflows all the time. And man, I thought, I'm not going to tell anybody about Jesus. I'm not going to tell anybody. They're going to think I'm a nut. They're going to think I'm some sort of fanatic or something like that. But you know what? It got to the point, He just doused me with a dose of the can't help it. And I just want to tell everybody I see about the Lord Jesus Christ. Met some folks in here yesterday that were cleaning the building and everything, and invited them to come to church. And he said, I didn't realize y'all had all this stuff going on. I said, man, yeah, we're trying to tell everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some place I can come and enjoy the Word of God. And I'm praying He's going to be here for the service today. Listen, there are folks out here hungering everywhere, and we need to introduce them to the one that brings out the living water. Amen. And He douses them with that. Look at what this woman said after that. This woman replied immediately, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And you know, it's interesting to note here that Jesus doesn't reply to her request at that moment. He doesn't reply to that question she asked about, but rather He says to her in verse number 16, He gets her to face the facts. He gets her to face the facts. He was being, up to this time, as we say in the Soul Winners Club, He was being folksy with her, okay? Yeah. But then He gets to the questions, okay? And He says in verse 16, He said, Go, call thy husband and come hither. To which she replies, honestly and to the point, she said, I have no husband. And Jesus just looked at her. He kind of grinned. I can just see it in my mind's eye. He just kind of grinned. He said, yeah, I know. I already knew that. He said in verse 17, verse 18, He said, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. And I can see that woman's eyes just get big. What else does this man know about me? Man, he knows everything. Yeah, Jesus said, Thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that, thou sayest truly. And I can just see Jesus just smiling. And that woman looks at him. And look at verse 19. We see the woman's confession. We see that woman's confession. And this is the turning point of this particular conversation between Jesus and this woman. You know, Jesus loved this lady. He cared for the individual. You know, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world. But I want you to remember something. The world is made up of individuals. And every individual needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of them needs the Lord. You needed the Lord. I needed the Lord. And Jesus knew that fact. And so He confronts this lady with the facts. And at this point, this turning point in this conversation, it basically calls the woman to realize that Jesus was a prophet. There's something different about this man. There's something different about this man, yeah? There's something different about Jesus, amen? There's something different about Him. It calls this woman to see that Jesus was just no ordinary man. He was the Son of God. And look at verse number 19. The Bible saith, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And then look at what happens here in verse number 20. We see the controversy. This woman gets religious. Okay, you notice how folks get religious when they talk to you? And you start talking to them about salvation, they want to get religious on you, okay? Religion's not going to cut it, folks. this woman got religious, and she begins talking about things that where she thinks she ought to worship, and that the Jews have it all wrong and all this stuff. And look at verse 20, what she said. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus just corrects her right there. He just corrects her. And in verses 21 through 24, Jesus avoided any religious argument. He avoided these religious arguments. Listen, when we go out soul winning, we're not there to argue with somebody about their religion or what they believe, what they think is right. We just want to show them what the Word of God says. We want them to know what thus saith the Lord. And instead of just arguing with her, he simply instructed the woman regarding true worship. And I want you to look at it in the statement. In the statement, it really doesn't matter where you go to church as long as you go to church. You've heard that. Yeah. I've heard people say, well, it doesn't matter where you go to church as long as you go to church. You know what? We went to a gas station while we were down in North Carolina. I pulled up on Gas Buddy. And I was able to pull up that app, and it said $2.02. I said, man, take me to it. And I didn't know where it was at. So I put the directions in there, and I took that thing, got us all the way up there, pulled into the gas station. Man, I'm excited, going to get gas, going to fill up for $2.02. And that place was closed. The pumps were all covered with yellow tape. The building was closed. Everything was closed. And I thought, well, now that's a letdown. But you know what? That kind of reminds me of this statement. You know, it doesn't matter where you go to church as long as you go to church. Well, it don't matter what gas station you go to as long as you go to a gas station. It didn't have anything to give me. Even at the worst price, it didn't have anything to give me. And you know what? That's the way a lot of folks are looking today. They go to church. They don't hear the message of the gospel being preached because they're not preaching it. They're not showing anybody they're a sinner because, well, that might offend somebody. We don't want to offend anybody. We would never tell them that they're a sinner. Well, how are they ever going to know their need of a Savior unless they find out, first of all, that we have all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God? How are they going to know that? So it does matter where you go to church. And you know what? That's what I'm praising the Lord for here. Man, folks can come here and they can hear the message of the gospel. Their lives can be changed. Folks care for them. The Lord God cared for them. And the answer, of course, is, you know, does it really matter where you go to church? Yes, it matters where you go to church. It does matter where you go to church. But this is what Jesus was trying to explain to this woman. It's not going to matter where you're going to worship at. You better find out who you're there to worship and what's going on with this thing. And so he went on and he explained that where one worships is not as important as how one worships, and that attitude makes up true worship. Amen. Jesus wanted her to understand that. And to worship God correctly, this dear woman needed to know correctly who God is. Amen? Yes. Now you listen to me today. Salvation does not come through the preacher. The preacher can't give you salvation. He can't save your soul. No preacher, pope, priest, bishop, whatever else they want to be called, can take away your sins or mine. No man can do that. But I know a man who can, amen? And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're reminded here in chapter 4, verse number 24, Jesus said here, he said, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and what? In truth. And folks, truth is what folks are rejecting today. People don't want truth today. They want to reject it. Could I get you to turn over to the book of Romans chapter number 1 just a moment? And in Romans chapter number 1, Brother Paul explains this. And I want you to look at it here with me, beginning in verse number 18. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. That includes lying, cheating, stealing, robbing, killing, perversion, all this stuff, pornography, all this mess, all ungodliness. And look what he said. And unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The fact is, folks have changed the truth of the Word of God into a lie. And folks today don't want truth. They don't want to accept truth. But the author of all truth came to this woman. And here he told her, he said, God is spirit. And notice that's capital S. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit, in a right attitude, and in truth. And here Jesus defined the very character of God, even as John defined Jesus as that true light. You remember when he did that? Turn back to John chapter 1, verse number 9, just a moment. Look at this. He described Jesus as being that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And again, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he talks about how that God is love. God is love. And you know what? Love, to be given as love, has to be given in truth. Okay? You know what? Many times we reject the truth because we just want to please people. We just want to please people. And folks need truth. And since God is spirit, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, even as we saw here in John chapter 4, verse number 23. So Jesus is the means in which we worship God. He's the one that we go through, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we wish to worship God in a spiritual and meaningful way, then we must worship God's way and not our own way. Before I got saved, I was trying to make sure that my good works outweighed my bad works. So if anything ever happened to me, hopefully my good works would outweigh my bad works and I'd get to go to heaven. But folks, it's not based on my good works. It's not based on my good deeds. It's not based on my being baptized, pasteurized, homogenized, anything like that. Nothing like that. You must be born again. And that's what Jesus was trying to help this woman to see. So now in verses 25 and 26, John chapter 4, we see this woman's confirmation of this truth. First, in verse number 25, look at it. We see this woman's confirmation that she understands that when Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, when he has come, he will tell us all things. She was looking for the Lord to come. You know what? I have met lost people that are looking around and saying, man, are the things that's going on in our world today really what's in the Bible when it says Jesus is coming back again? You know, they're talking about Messiah coming back again. The Jews are looking for Messiah. And the Jews are some of the most atheistic people as a whole. They turn away from God. Man, Tel Aviv now lights up with the gay flag colors at night. It's a major area for this perverted lifestyle. And many of the Jewish people that you talk to, God will help them to have their eyes open, but they become atheists because they think their God has forsaken them. And they're still longing for Messiah to come. And Messiah has already come. And Jesus explains here in verse number 26, he said, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm the one. Oh, listen, the Muslim crowd says, listen, Jesus never proclaimed to be God. Jesus never proclaimed to be the Messiah. I just double ding dong dare you to read that verse, okay? Read this verse, number 26. Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm Messiah. Now listen to me today. The devil wants to make us think that the Word of God is not true. The religious crowds today are trying to tell us we're not showing forth the love of God as we ought to by telling folks that they're sinners and that they're going to die and spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. They think that we're just the bad guys because we want to keep folks out of that place. But listen, folks, if the bridge is out down the road and I know the bridge is out, I'm going to pull over in the middle of the road and try to stop folks from driving off the edge. They may yell at me and say, get out of the middle of the road. I got someplace to go. And they're doing all these bad things and calling you all kinds. And they drive off the edge. But they'll not be able to stand before God and say, well, nobody tried to tell me. And you know what? That's why you need to keep your pocketbooks, ladies. Your pockets, guys. Get you some gospel tracts. Pass them out. Let folks know what Christ has done for you. Ring the bells and let folks know that Jesus Christ has come. Amen? And start this new year right. Look at verses 27 through 38. We see the return here of the disciples. Verse 27 said, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man saith, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? You know what? I'm so glad that Jesus is a friend of publicans and sinners, aren't you? I am so glad that Jesus cared for my soul. He came to where I was. He came to my need. He helped me. And in verses 28 and 29, we see this Samaritan woman leaving her water pot, and she's running back into the city to tell everybody, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the anointed one, the Messiah? Is this not the Christ? And what this woman tells these people causes many of them to believe on the Lord Jesus also. Look at verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And then John chapter 4, verse 39, the Bible said, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Now, many of those folks believed because of her testimony of what Christ did. And you know what? There are going to be people that will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because of your testimony, because of my testimony. But folks, it goes beyond all that. I want you to look at verses 31 through 38. The Bible shows us here Jesus' challenge to his own disciples. First, I want us to focus on the things that truly satisfies one's spiritual hunger. And this is what Jesus was trying to tell them. Look at verse number 31 and 32. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. We've been to McDonald's. I'm sorry. To McDavid's, okay? We've got you something here. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. But I've got something that satisfies my hunger that you don't know anything about. They were all worried about him eating something. They were worried about him talking to this Samaritan woman at the well. They knew who she was. They knew the reputation that she had. And here he is talking to her. Can you imagine the Son of God talking to a woman like that? But aren't you glad that he did? Amen. Oh, that means that Jesus talked to you, talked to me. But then the focus here is to understand what God's will is for everyone who calls himself a believer. You know what? Jesus wanted these disciples to focus on what he wanted them to do. And God has saved us, folks, for a purpose. He has given us a new year for a purpose today. And that purpose is to let folks know what Christ has done. Look at verses 33 and 34. Therefore saith the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him a Big Mac that he ought to eat? Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Amen. You know what? I am so glad that Jesus let nothing keep him from finishing the job that he came to this world to do. Had he not finished that job, you and I today would still be lost in our sin. We'd be on our way to a devil's hell. And because of this, in verse number 35, Jesus challenged them, each of them, look at it, number one, to lift up your eyes. Folks, I beg you today, in 2026, lift up your eyes. Look around you today. I told the class last night on the Zoom class, we started a new Zoom class last night, and I'm doing it on Saturday nights now. That gives me free time on Tuesday nights to still go back and still visit and go out and visit folks. And so I was here last night, and I was talking to these folks. Most of those folks were in the Ohio area. And you know what? All the mess is going on in Ohio today, okay? And all the corruption, everything they see. But I told them, I said, listen, if you don't know where to go and tell somebody about Jesus, just lift up your eyes. Look outside your front door. There's a neighbor that needs to know about Jesus. There's somebody at the grocery store that needs to know about Jesus. Look, lift up your eyes. And then he said, look on the fields. Look on the fields around you. All the different fields, the work field, the school field, the social field. Listen, everywhere you look today, folks need Jesus. And realize that those fields before your eyes are white already unto harvest. You know what that means? They're white. They're actually getting ready to rot if somebody doesn't go and bring them in. And folks, listen to me today. That's our job. The challenge to believe. Look at verses 36 through 38. Jesus challenged his disciples to open their eyes and to see the spiritual needs of those folks around them. Read it with me. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that true, that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Folks, listen, there is a world around us that needs to know about Jesus today. And in verses 39 through 42, we see the response of the Samaritans to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. 3 times in this chapter, John records how that those Samaritans believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 39, in verse 41, and in verse 42, and because of their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, they begged him, they besought him to stay with them. Do you remember when you first got saved? Man, you loved just coming to church. You loved being in the house of God with folks. Man, you loved the fellowship that you have one with another. That's what they wanted to have. And Jesus stayed with them for two more days. And then we see John's account of the healing of the nobleman's son in verses 43 through 54. I'm going to try to get this in real quick. Jesus again, he returns into Galilee. And there he's welcomed by all the people. And these people wanted to see another sign, just one more miracle from Jesus. Boy, he's the great miracle worker. He's the great entertainer. But Jesus didn't come to Galilee to entertain. He came to do a job. Amen? He came to do a job. And here we see another man coming to Jesus. Verse 46 and 47. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Here we see a man that after seeing the miracle of the water being turned into wine, he believed that Jesus could do something with his dying son. And here in verse number 48, Jesus said, except ye see signs and wonders, you'll not believe. Many there, Jesus knew what was in their hearts. He knew what was in their hearts. He wasn't some kind of performer. But in verse 49, this nobleman pleaded with Jesus. He said, sir, please come down ere my child die. And in verse number 50, the Bible said, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Simple faith. He placed his faith in the Savior, in the word of God. You know what? That's what I did on March the 28th, 1975. I placed my faith in the words of God. And I said, Lord, I don't know how you could save me. I don't know why you would want to save me, but I'm going to trust you to do what your word says do. And guess what? He saved me, amen? And he changed my life and gave me something worth looking for, living for. And now look at the last verse in our lesson today, verses 51 through 54. And now as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew. Look at that word, K-N-E-W. He knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. You know what we saw in this passage? The progression of this nobleman's belief. He trusted the Lord. He believed the miracles that Jesus had done. And then he believed that Jesus' word would be true. And he saw the proof of it in his son that lived just as Jesus said. Now, folks, let me ask you something. What are you hungering for today? What are you longing for in your life today as a child of God? Listen, will you just take time to believe his word? Will you trust him this new year? Listen, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what all is happening. We don't know what's going to happen or what's going to come to pass in this new year. But I know this. He knows what's going on, and I can trust his word. And I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to trust him. The challenge to believe. Will you accept the challenge today? Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I love you today, and I thank you, God, for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for being a faithful God whose word is true. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us to believe that word, to trust you, and to obey you in all that we do in this new year, 2026. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll fulfill the hunger in the hearts and the lives of the people in this classroom today. And Lord, help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness and be willing to go and tell everybody we can about what Jesus has done for us and what Christ can do for them.
And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. Bless our pastor. Give him power this morning as he stands to preach. And we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being here. Amen.